For more than 1 year, if I had to cry in my own room, I had to put a pillow over my face and cry. I was not allowed to cry or make any noises while I was crying, because if my noises would go out of the room that I was in and would reach the person that I was in a relationship with, then I would be accustomed to even more verbal and emotional abuse. Hello everybody, my name is Tanvi and welcome to the channel And Life Goes On by Tanvi, or my podcast And Life Goes On by Tanvi, and this is my story. So I was wondering and contemplating, and when I came up with this thought that I needed to speak about certain things that I have been through and how I found the strength to come out of it. So this episode in particular could be very triggering. It might not be the happiest thing that you hear, but at the same time, if you have the strength to listen to it, it might be empowering. However, if it feels triggering, please feel free to close it. So I'm going to talk about how I faced gaslighting, narcissistic abuse for over 2 years of my life, and I did not know what I was facing, and how I found the strength to come out of it, and what helped me come out of that dynamic. So before I go on and talk about my personal details and how I personally came out of it, I would just like to explain certain terms that I will be using. For example, what is gaslighting and what is the difference between narcissistic personality disorder and somebody with strong narcissistic tendencies? And what exactly is emotional abuse? Now understand this, when it comes to abuse, our definition becomes quite restrictive. So many times when we are actually being abused, we don't even identify that as abuse or something that is not okay. All right, so because, and this is very sad how we are sort of conditioned in our society, where we don't consider emotional abuse as a huge problem and something that pushes somebody over the edge of depression, of anxiety, of in worst cases attempting suicide. That was my case, and I want to share this story to help somebody out there, to give you hope just in case this helps. I don't know. So firstly, yes, it's a little heavy that I feel a little heavy when I talk about all of this. It's not the easiest thing to bring up, but I know that when I hear somebody else talk about their story and how they found the strength to come out of certain things, it empowers me. So I hope this sort of does the same thing to somebody out there. So now coming to a person who has narcissistic personality disorder that is clinically diagnosed, opposed to somebody who has strong narcissistic tendencies. A narcissist, and when I say that I was in a relationship with somebody who had strong narcissistic tendencies, I cannot diagnose somebody when I'm not in touch with them, okay? So of course I would not diagnose somebody with the narcissistic personality disorder. I'm just going to say that this person was close to being a strong narcissist. A narcissist has specific traits. For example, a narcissist is somebody who lacks empathy. They do not understand or have any kind of empathy for their own emotions and their own self. They have strong self-hate inside of them, and hence they spend an entire lifetime seeking external validations. Now, a person who has strong narcissistic tendencies, they might often have a strong support group. So this is something that we don't know. They have a strong support system that includes their friends and family, because they portray a persona in front of their friends and this society, and they have this image to maintain, because of which they cannot be real, okay, because they need a lot of external validation. However, in a romantic relationship, in a romantic setup, a person with strong narcissistic tendencies is often attracted to an empath with very low self-worth, And I was that empath who had no self-worth at all. I did not love myself. I did not feel worthy of deserving a lot of love. And I thought that anybody who would give me a little bit of attention, I confused that with the definition of love. And that was the reason why I had to work a lot on loving myself throughout the relationship in order to gain the strength to come out of it. And at the same time, after I got out of a narcissistic dynamic. Now, when you get into a relationship with a narcissist or a person with strong narcissistic tendencies, this person would often use gaslighting as one of the emotional abuses. Gaslighting is something, for example, you do not like certain behavior or specific behavior that somebody is doing to you. Somebody said something mean to you, okay? For example, they might comment on the way you look, that you don't look good, you look ugly, or you are fat, or something on your body that hurts you, okay? And in a very bad way, oh my God, you're so fat, you know, something like that. Or you are this, and in worst cases, they might abuse you or your character. Okay, and hence that would of course make you feel bad. But when you feel bad, you will be called that you're too sensitive. It's unreal for you to feel bad, and you need help because you feel bad if I tell you the truth, because I love you and hence I'm telling you the truth. Now, these are strong narcissistic tendencies and abusive behaviors. Now, this technique, and yes, this is a technique of abusing somebody emotionally. This technique where somebody first blames you, first would demean you, would try to point things out in you that they think are your problems. Okay, for example, they might say that you don't look good or you are this or that, whatever. Okay, and if that triggers you, then they would say that it is your fault. You are too emotional, you are too sensitive, you're not too practical, and it's all your fault that you are being triggered. And you need to work on yourself because you have anxiety, you have depression. Okay? And you cry. Okay? This is something that's called gaslighting, where the person who's abusing you begins to blame you for feeling bad. At the same time, gaslighting also works in a way that when you confront that person the next day, that you might gain strength and insight that, okay, fine, but I still don't think that it was okay for this person to call me names. So you might gain strength and you might go and confront that person. You might try to talk things out. But when you bring up things like when you said this yesterday, I felt very bad. This person might just straight up tell you that they never said that. This is called gaslighting, where you are sort of so confused in your head that you begin to question whether something really happened or not. Now, this person the next day would convince you that this entire thing that you think I said is only something that you are thinking. Now, every narcissistic relationship has its stages. Like I said, it starts with the stage of love bombing, where this person would shower you with all the attention in the world. And as soon as you both are in a relationship, they would retract all the attention that they are giving you. Now, let's understand that a narcissist is a person who does not understand his or her own emotions. They don't understand emotions. They are too afraid. It's not like they don't have emotions, but they have hugely suppressed their own emotions to the point that they don't want to admit to the fact that showing emotions is a normal thing. They think that emotions are something that need to be feared from. Okay, again, this is a person who lacks empathy for themselves. Now, when an empath comes into a relationship with a narcissist, an empath when they lack self-worth, they would have this, you know, fixing tendency that I want to fix somebody. And so this need to fix this person, that I can help this person out of it. An empath might see clearly that, okay, this person is not able to identify his or her own emotions or their own emotions. And hence this, like, the empath would try hard to give them hope and help. And at the end, like, of every cycle of gaslighting, the empath begins to agree with the person with strong narcissistic tendencies that, yes, everything that is happening to them is their fault. And that was exactly my case. I started seeking therapy. I started taking all kinds of help, like meditation, yoga. I would seek every possible help. I remember my entire day would start and end with Google searches of how I could fix myself, of how I could be less sensitive and less emotional, because I was being told on a daily basis that I was the problem because I was too emotional and hence I was the problem. There was a point in my life where I felt like I am that, and of course, like, this is not the case, you know, so don't, like, I was not doing something illegal. We were both of age, and but I really felt that I was in a relationship with a teenager and a spoiled teenager. I would do my own work, my office work, I would, you know, do my own studies. I would do this person's office work, clean the house, cook for myself, for this person. And all this person wanted to do was just lock themselves in a room for days if they were pissed off from me, withhold communication, withhold all kinds of contact, withhold, you know, they would just switch their phones off when we were not in the same city. This person would switch their phone off and would just disappear for days. And now, the problem was that when I used to approach this person's friends or family, I was often again being blamed. I was told that you are being too sensitive. Why don't you have a little bit of patience in you? Why, if this person needs space, why can you just not give this person a little bit of space? And I understand that, yes, even I had anxious attachment style and I was an empath with low self-worth and self-esteem. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody has the license to abuse you. You know, so at the same time, I recognize that, okay, fine, I would agree with these people. And I would say that, okay, fine, yes, I think these people are right. I have to stop being so clingy, you know. I need to detach myself. I need to stop calling this person. And then I would do that. I would stop calling. I would mind my own business. And then eventually this person would come around, would say sorry sometimes, and then it would, you know, go on similarly. So this cycle would continue. It was the same cycle of this person ignoring me, wanting to block me, not wanting to talk to me for days, and would lock or disappear for days. And then I would just again cry and seek for this person. And then I would, just when I would decide that, okay, fine, I will not be so attached to this person, it's all my fault, I need to fix myself, and then this person would come around that, yes, now we can be happy. So you understand, this was a chain of emotional cycle that was going on, that kept me believing, where I kept myself under a trap, and these people around me, they kept making me believe in the fact that there are things that are specifically wrong with me, and everything that is, if I am unhappy, it's all my fault. And they also sort of made me believe that I can never be happy in my life. Now, this kept happening for more than 2 years, I believe. And then I was, yes, in between, I did find the strength to break out of it. And yes, I was trying to contact everyone who possible in my contact list. But sort of even my friends were sick of me calling them, where I'm just crying, I'm just, you know, putting a like locking my mouth like that so that nobody can, this person did not hear me cry. Otherwise, this person would again blame me for feeling sad or for crying. And I just, I don't know, like, I think it was very difficult time, like those few years. It wasn't until after 2 years that I started getting too much anxiety. I was being tested for, like, I had to give, like, I had to go to doctor. I had to seek help for my anxiety because I had constant pain in my chest. My health was degrading. I got physical problems, and now this person would again blame me for having physical problems. And this, I had to, like, you know, request this person, like, okay, I'm, you know, and I remember I would go to this person and tell him that, you know, now I'm getting treated for my anxiety. Now maybe we can, like, now everything will be fine. And I didn't realize that I was overgiving in a relationship. I was doing my job. I was studying for my, I was doing my studies, my master's, and I was doing this person's office work as well because this person was not good at their work at their office. And next, I was cooking food for both of us, all the three meals. I was cleaning. I had to wake this person up in the middle of the afternoon or at the evening because this person would stay up all night playing video games and would only want to wake up at around 3 p.m. or 4 p.m. And it was my duty to wake him up. And if I did not wake him up, then he would again get angry. But his anger and his this kind of a behavior would only be when I was alone with him. This behavior would not be there when he was there with other people. So as soon as there was somebody else around us, he would not show this side. And that kept me confused because anybody that I would approach and the person who knew the two of us, if I would talk to anybody, and I did try to talk to a lot of people at that time, all the people, they would just not believe what I was saying. Everybody would say that, no, yeah, maybe it's really in your head. And I had to actually question whether everything that was happening to me behind closed doors and when the two of us were alone was it really happening outside in my reality or was it only in my head. It wasn't until very, like, after 2 years that this person's family wanted, asked me to leave my job, and they wanted me to marry their son only if I promised them the fact that I will leave my job and have their children and have this person's children, which was honestly my biggest nightmare because I was so afraid. I always wanted to have a family and children, but the fact that I would often wonder, what if I have children with this guy? And this person is already like a spoiled teenager. And I often felt like I was living with a teenage boy, you know, who was only interested in video games and not interested in me. Okay, this person would only criticize me the entire day, would not ever, ever, ever say anything that's nice and loving. Would not pay sort of any kind of attention in private, but only in public they would sort of shift their personality. So after a long time, I found a therapist at my university, and my therapist then helped me gain perspective. I will always be very grateful to that therapist because when I started telling my therapist about, I would initially just go to my therapist and, you know, I would just start to tell him that I have anxiety, I have problems, help me, I need help. Until one day I was really angry and I was pissed off at the person that I was living with, and I had to go out and I had to talk to my therapist, and I told him the real reason why I was seeking therapy. I told him about this person's family, the things that they were telling me, the things that they were telling my family, the things that I was doing every day, the fact that I had so much pressure, and the fact that this person was just not available, okay, and was not interested. That's when this therapist said, like, what are you doing? So the first thing that I did, I started doing for myself, like, I remember my therapist told me that, no, yes, you are this person's mother. You're not this person's partner. What you are doing for this person is something that a mother does for their child, not what a partner is supposed to do. You're not supposed to mother this person. This person, fixing this person is not your responsibility. So this, I started doing, the first thing that I did before I found the strength to get out of this relationship was that I would come back and I would do one, I would cook for myself. Like, I would only make food for one. I did not make food for two people. And I remember that this person woke up at 4 p.m. and knew that I had just come back from my therapy, and I was making something that this person did not like, but I loved eating. So I, you know, because I otherwise I never got the chance to eat that specific food, and my mouth is still watery when I think of that food item because I love food. Anyway, focus. So this person got really triggered and got sort of like again pissed off and would again lock himself back in the room and would say that I will not eat. I'm not hungry. I don't want to talk to you. You know, so like a person, when somebody is gaslighting you, when somebody is emotionally abusing you, they threaten you with this thing that they will retract all the attention, all the little bit of attention that they're giving you. And when, again, I repeat, when you lack self-worth, you would do anything for the little bit of attention that you're getting. And this little attention is called breadcrumbing, okay? So somebody not paying you attention is not healthy. It's not your fault, but you need to cut that thing off. Now, the other thing that happened was that I would tell this person or this family, or this person's family, because they were very intrusive, and this about the fact that this person had anger issues. And so this person's family would come to me and they would say, sorry, please stop it with your complaints. We have read your birth chart, and as per your birth chart, you are also short-tempered, so please don't tell us that our son is short-tempered. It's actually you as well who is short-tempered as per your birth chart. And that is why I don't understand how in India especially this astrology is blindly followed, which is completely garbage, complete bullshit. One day I was crying, and I was crying a lot in front of this person when this person said that I will make a video and I will show it to everybody. And I will prove it to people that you are mentally unstable because you have depression and anxiety. And so I apologized. I said that I'm sorry for crying. Please, I will stop crying. I will not cry. I was so frustrated that I started hurting myself physically. I could not find a way out. And my therapist helped me understand that people who hurt themselves are frustrated. It's like they don't think that there's a situation or a possibility to get out of that situation, and hence they think that it's all their fault, and subconsciously, because they're taking everything on themselves, that they hate themselves and they start hurting them. And so this person said that I will again make another video and I will show it to everybody on how you need therapy. And I said, I am seeking all kinds of therapy and I am sorry. And I apologized yet again. And I said that I will stop, and I did stop. But there came a point where I was not being angry. I was not reacting. I was not doing anything wrong. I was doing my studies. I was doing my job. I was doing this person's job. I was making food for this person, for me. And I was being happy. And then when this person would come, and this person sort of ran out of things to tell me about me, you know. So then this person would say that, no, but you remember that time you used to do that. Now you don't do it, I agree. But earlier you used to do that. So you are still the problem. And that is when I realized that if I am the problem, and all these problems that this person is listing, if I am already fixing all those things, if I've already broken free from all those patterns, and still this person is the person who's frustrated, who's angry all the time, who has sleep issues, who is, you know, just irritated with me and still hates me, then I don't think I am the problem. Then that is the time when I just politely said that I am going out of this place. I cannot tolerate this anymore. I went out, I moved out of that place where I was living in, and I was living with some other person. That is when I decided to sort of like pull the plug and say that I wanted to break up. There was also a time when I sort of broke my leg, like not broke, I did not break it, but my ligament was stretched. So, and I was preparing for a dance function at the university for over 2 to 3 months, and I was super excited to perform, and I had to sing on stage, and I was like, you know, in front of all, like on the front side of almost every dance. And so I really wanted to perform because I had been working so hard for that performance. So, but however, just like a few days before the event, I broke my leg, and so I could not dance. But because it was a ligament stretch, so, and I can, like, I don't know, when it comes to dancing, I get super passionate and very excited. So at the last moment, I decided to still go and perform at least one dance. No, I think two dances, but I did not jump really hard. And, you know, I did not like put a lot of physical exertion, but I still danced, and I was super happy to do that. Okay, I was so excited because I love to dance. Now, this person, after the event was over and I had my crutches, because I was happy when I was dancing, okay, but I my foot was still hurting and I was still dancing. And so this person, after the event, this person came to me, and so, like, I still needed support, because when I was still and I was not dancing, I would realize, oh my God, I am in pain. I need to rest. And so I need my crutches to help me walk. Okay. This person, I remember, snatched my crutches and said that, what the hell do you think of yourself? Who are you doing this for? You're doing this to show others that you have a broken leg, right? While you can dance. I said, yeah, but it hurts. That's why I need those crutches. I was dancing, and when I was still in pain, but because I love dancing so much that I forgot that I was in pain. And this person snatched my crutches and, you know, held them in this person's hands. And this person said that, see, this is what happens. This is how a person is supposed to look like when their foot is really hurt. So stop pretending as if your foot is hurt. Stop doing it to show it off to others. And this would happen only when others were not around. But only when there was nobody else around. Because otherwise this person would just, you know, smile at me and act like this person was so innocent and sweet. But as soon as people would go away, this person would flip. Even when, like, I decided to break up with this person, I remember this person's friend called me up and told me the exact same words that, you know, this person, like, he's so sad, and he's saying that, how can I let her go? How can I break up with her? She is my life. And so I started crying. Oh my God, this person thinks that I'm his life. And I ran to this person again. And I ran towards this person, and this person, when nobody was around again, He told me that I can never make anybody happy and I can never be happy myself. And I'm sorry. So this person blamed me even then. And that's when I realized, like, Tanvi, do not cry. I had to, you know, actually pinch myself hard, like, don't cry in front of this person. Do not cry. Do not fall. This person does not deserve to even watch your tears. Now, breaking up with this person was also not that easy, because you have to understand that a person with strong narcissistic tendencies has an image to maintain. Okay. So now when I wanted to break up with this person said that, no, first you have to meet me. I said, okay. And so I told my therapist that this person wants me to meet him and he wants me to know about the things that I need to fix in myself again. So my therapist recommended if I could take my friend along with me, because this person had called his friend but my friends were not allowed, because again, you understand that a narcissist has an image to maintain in front of others, and hence my side cannot be strong. So I made a few pointers in my head. I decided that I will not cry no matter what happens in this meeting, where I was supposed to be told about the things that are wrong with me and I need to be fixing for. This person called his friend, and my therapist told me that do not meet this person in a closed room. So I asked these people to meet me outside in an open park, in an open area, so that I am physically safe and this person cannot physically harm me. Now there, this person wrote around 8 to 10 pages about me, about writing about the things that are wrong with me. In front of his friend, he read all those pages. Those 8 pages had sticky notes and, you know, they were underlined. And it had things that were completely, honestly, they were illogical to me, because the pointers that were there on those 8 pages, some of them were that, I specifically remember that one point was that you are a problem because you help everybody when you are in need for help. So you are a hypocrite. And I said, I don't know if I'm a hypocrite. I think I like this trait in me, because this was the time where my therapist, with the help of my therapist, I did develop a lot of self-worth and I did understand that I was not the problem in this relationship. Now, the biggest dilemma after I got out of that relationship, I remember one day I was talking to my therapist and I asked my therapist this question. What if nobody believes me? Because everything that was happening was only happening when I was alone with this person and I have nothing to prove. And I can never prove it to anybody about what kind of gaslighting and emotional abuse that I was going through, that it wasn't my fault, because I was seeking external validation. That's when my therapist said that, how does it matter? Why does it matter that whether somebody else believes you or not? Do you believe in your story? I said, yes, I do. Do you know what happened? What this person turned into when the two of you were alone? I said, yes, I do understand. I know that this person was only telling me things that were wrong with me every single day. And so then my therapist said that, then why does it matter? How does it matter if nobody else in this world believes you? And I think this is a belief system that I still carry with me. The only person that you can ever change is you yourself. The only person you'll ever want to change is you. And change does not mean that there is something wrong with you. Change, for me, I have redefined changing myself. I believe that changing yourself only means that you let these stories fall out and accept yourself the way you are. So you never have to change your traits, your basic personality. You just have to learn how to embrace them. The only thing that you need to change is your belief system about yourself. Because the way you think about yourself is the only thing that will ever matter in this world. So with this first story, I hope that you find the strength to identify if you or anybody around you is being emotionally abused, is in a narcissist empath dynamic, is being gaslit. Please seek help. Please seek professional help. And please do not try to fix a person with narcissistic tendencies. So I will see you again next time. Please don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and comment if this helped in any possible way. And I will see you again next time. Bye-bye. Take care.